Good morning, good people. This is Kiplin Primus, your host for the local take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And this morning I am joined in the studio by Dr. Sheila Williams. She is the author of a book, My Mother's Keeper, and a professional in counseling. Welcome, Dr. Williams.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
So just a little bit, how did you get involved in counseling?
Well, it's a very long story, but my mother suffered from clinical depression. And unfortunately, her diagnosis didn't come until I was in my early to mid-20s. So I say that the profession is not one that I chose. The profession chose me because I had a totally different career path that I was on. But once I started doing the research on my own, I started researching her symptoms because she was misdiagnosed and undiagnosed for over 20 years, as I state. So from there, I decided to change my major from math and to psychology. And then from the bachelor's in psychology, I went to the master's in mental health counseling. And here I am 25 plus years later.
Well, as we enter this kind of back to school and going to school phase, mm-hmm. especially I know for college students, and schizophrenia is usually diagnosed around that 18 to 21
right.
period. And we've got a lot of kids. They're excited. They're getting ready to go to college. Mm-hmm. Their parents are excited and nervous. But what are some of the things that they might need to look for to help students with that transition from high school and under mom and dad's roof
right.
to kind of college where you're on your own?
Well, it's a very stressful transition, or it can be, I should say. I think the preparation for college starts long before you get to the point where you're graduating from high school. It's a conversation that needs to, start happening in middle school, probably as early as maybe eighth grade or so. But I think that, basically just keeping in mind that the communication and the conversations needs to continue, and to prepare the student for the stressors that they're going to face. Peer pressure, they may have not even been exposed to alcohol and drugs. All these things are going to be, brought to them once they get to college. So, you just want to make sure you have the lines of communication open and try to prepare them for the stress that they're going to face, not just academically, but socially and emotionally as well.
Because there is that stress from leaving a home where people were directing you mm-hmm. to now becoming self-directed mm-hmm. with your choices and with everything. Like you said, drugs, mm-hmm. alcohol, mm-hmm. friendship, even your class schedule. Mm-hmm. What can students do to prepare themselves for this new stress that's about to be part of their lives?
Well, I go back to, definitely starting before you get to the point where you're graduating high school. I think from ninth grade all the way through 12th grade, it should be a maturity, more independence provided to the child to give them an opportunity to kind of take on that role where they're responsible for their own. Okay, I got to study. I need to make my own study habits a little bit better than perhaps they were in middle school. You just kind of want to prepare them and mature them as much as possible before you set them free off to college, because they won't have mom and dad there to take care of them. So we find that a lot of times students are not able to, basically cope with the stressors that are placed upon them. And that's why we see some of the mental health issues and concerns that pop up with them. So it's about coping and being able to deal with the stress, which is the main thing.
Now, you've mentioned that eighth grade, ninth grade kind of mm-hmm. time period. And we do have listeners whose kids are going from middle school mm-hmm. to high school. And that's a big difference as well,
yes.
because, a lot of times in middle school, you're in one room and the teachers kind of mm-hmm. come to you, and all
right.
of a sudden you're in high school and you've got to go here and there, and you kind of manage yourself. What are some of the tools and tips that parents can share mm-hmm. with eighth and ninth graders about this change that they're embracing and getting ready to face?
I think it's definitely important to, again, strategically align them with those responsibilities that, perhaps you were doing for them in elementary and early middle school, as far as, what do you have for homework, preparing your own clothes for school the next day, maybe doing their own laundry, because that's something they're going to have to do when they're in college. Mom is not there for you to do your laundry. So all of these things come into play when you're talking about becoming a little bit more mature. And then again, the communication lines need to always remain open, but you want to always be cognizant of any kind of changes that are going on with your child, whether or not there's mood changes or changes in their communication with you, changes in their social functioning, whether or not they're kind of hanging out a little bit too much or not being social with their friends like they used to be. So you really want to pay attention to any kind of changes that are happening with your child. But again, slowly start incorporating those tasks and responsibilities to helpfully mature them so that once they graduate, it's not a rude awakening as to what they need to be doing. They've already been kind of trained on that before they graduate.
Now, you mentioned your career in psychology mm-hmm. and counseling came because the research that you were doing with symptoms from yes. your mom and your own family member. Mm-hmm. And lots of times we're watching and we're recognizing things and we mm-hmm. might feel that something is, not quite right. How do you address that? And mm-hmm. what should the next steps be if you're finding, like you mentioned, that your high schooler is all of a sudden right. not social or, right. Not doing some of the things that they were interested in before. How do you as parents address that child in that place mm-hmm. to help them?
Again, the biggest thing is like once you realize that something is not what it used to be, there are changes and I have concerns because there are changes. Again, keep that line of communication open. But as we did with my mother, as I stated before, it was in my early to mid 20s before she was appropriately diagnosed. It was a continuous conversation that we had with her. And the way she would explain it is more so physical ailments. Although we saw that she didn't want to get out of bed, she didn't feel good. It looked like because at the time I didn't have a career and I'm 5, 7, 10 years old. It didn't make sense to us, but we knew that something wasn't right. So we took her back and forth to the medical doctors and they prescribed muscle relaxers or pain pills for her, alleviating the symptoms, but not addressing the main issue. So it wasn't until we kept probing and we're like, nothing is working here. She's not getting better. She's getting worse. And I think that's the biggest thing, to remain persistent and to have the communication lines open so that you let your loved one know, I love you. I care about you. I notice that something is not quite right. Something's a little bit different from the way that you used to behave, and encourage them to go to the doctor. And I would say, offer to go with them. A lot of times we find that individuals may be nervous or afraid to go to the doctor alone, but provide that support and offer, to go along with them.
That's a great example and a great idea for people who just might not even know the next step. Something is wrong. Mm-hmm. You're talking, you're trying to tease out the challenge. Mm-hmm. How would they go about finding a counselor?
Well, like I said, with my mother, we didn't know anything about, a counselor. We knew to go to the primary care physician, to the dentist, and the church. That was pretty much it. We pray about stuff, and that was really it. I didn't know anybody. We didn't know anybody who had mental health issues, never saw a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a counselor, didn't know anything about it. So we knew that if we didn't feel good or something was not quite right, we'd go to the primary care physician. So thank God, finally, at 20-something years old, like I said, I took her, my father and I, we took her again to the primary care physician. And that is something that a really good primary care physician will be able to determine that this is not a physical ailment. Your symptoms kind of mirror maybe perhaps a mental health concern. So what he did was he recommended that we take her to a psychologist. And from there we did. And then the diagnosis of clinical depression came. So I would say to anyone, you may or may not know a therapist. You may or may not know a counselor or a psychologist, but the communication needs to remain and take the person or you yourself go to a primary care physician. And if you have a good one and they've been trained on this, they know that mental health is a part of overall health. And from there, they can refer you to a psychiatrist, psychologist, as need be, if necessary.
So now we know July is National Minority Mental Health Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. And we know that 1 in 5 people, humans, will suffer mm-hmm. from a mental health challenge. Mm-hmm. How do we get that word out that this is just a human ailment? It's part of being human.
Right.
And there's help out there.
Well, I definitely, as I stated before, like we're doing today, and thank you again for having me on your show, to keep the lines of communication open. And that's, you know, my platform that I try to do in everything that I do every day is to make it a reality. And so that we stop thinking about mental health as something separate. Mental health is a part of our overall health and well-being. So I think if we start to think about it as part of health, as not a separate entity, then we can understand and we can accept the fact that it is a part of our overall health. If our mental health is not where it needs to be, then it affects our physical health. It all starts with mental health. So if we start to, you know, become aware of that and start to educate more on that, I think that people will start to talk about it more, and then we will embrace the fact that it is a part of our health.
Dr. Williams, I want to thank you for coming today and sharing with our listeners. I don't think we can talk about this too much. Your book is called My Mother's Keeper. Share with our listeners how they can get more information about counseling and your story and your book.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Thank you. You can go directly to my website. It's www.drsheiladwilliams.com. There are no periods or spaces. That's drsheiladwilliams.com. The book is available everywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, all online. And, of course, I'm available all on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, Dr. Sheila D. Williams.
Thank you so much, Dr. Williams.
Thank you.
I appreciate your taking the time to share with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.